But in the medieval world, Aristotle was infallible. The world thought in his terms. They used his system of astronomy and of physics. This is before Galileo. This is before Copernicus. This is before the Renaissance. This is before man broke out of the chains that bound the medieval world. I'm going to devote one whole lecture, by the way, to the medieval world, because unless we have some sort of understanding of that kind of world, you can't understand how the Jews reacted to it, the miracle of how the Jews survived it. By the way, if you want to read an excellent book on the medieval world, excellent, there's a book by Barbara Tuchman called A Distant Mirror. And the subtitle is The Calamitous 14th Century, which is the High Middle Ages, the century of the Black Plague and of the Hundred Years' War, the century of the Inquisition, of the schism in the Catholic Church. But there you'll have, if you read that book, you'll have an appreciation of what it was to live in the medieval world. We have no concept of what it was. None whatsoever. So therefore, much of what the Rambam has to say in the Morah Nevuchim is not addressed to us. It doesn't talk our language, it doesn't meet our needs, it doesn't deal with our problems. However, much of what the Rambam does say in the Morah Nevuchim is of value to us. It is of historic value, it's of philosophic value, and it also illuminates certain ideas regarding Torah. The book is divided into three sections. Remember, the book is written in Arabic, which itself is a tip-off. And it's written to Ibn Enkin. The first section deals with God, God and creation. Again, the Rambam proves the existence of God. He proves it according to Aristotelian principles of logic. If you don't hold from Aristotelian principles of logic, he proved nothing. But again, in his system, in his time, it's a proof. The proofs are valid. And the Rambam discusses there the nature of creation. And there the Rambam begins to found his ideas of rationalism. The Rambam attempted to remove as much as possible any supernaturalism from Jewish belief. The Rambam, for instance, has a definition of miracles that we can all identify with. Rambam's definition of miracles is something unusual that happens in its time. If you want to understand what the Rambam means by that, if you've ever read Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, in which the thesis of the book is that a Connecticut Yankee in the 19th century, through a time machine, is transported back to the 10th century in King Arthur's court, and he's able to out Merlin, because he knows about gunpowder, he knows about all the inventions, the steam engine, the railroad, and he's in the 10th century. Now, to us, the railroad is not a miracle. I mean, it is if you're in New York City, but it is in the, but it's, we don't rank it, you know, as being the splitting of the Red Sea, for instance. If someone would come, let's see, if someone would come to your great-grandfather and tell him that I'll show you a picture of somebody in Japan right now, what he's doing, would that not be a miracle? I'll send somebody up to the moon. Would that not be a miracle? Somebody's hand is severed and I'll re-sew it. Would that not be a miracle? I'll put in an artificial heart.